Thank you for making KHSU part of your plans for your Tuesday, the 5th of June. I'm Wendy Butler, and this program is called Art Waves. The 20th annual North Coast Open Studios began this past weekend and continues this coming Saturday and Sunday, June 9th and 10th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., with participating studios open to the public from Trinidad to Fortuna. Today, my final three interviews of my North Coast Open Studios Charter Artist Series, artists who've been participating since the event began 20 years ago. I visited each of these artists' studios. We looked at their current projects and talked about the unique ways art fits into their individual lives. First today, oil landscape and portrait painter Michelle Murphy Ferguson. I visited with Michelle in her Old Town Eureka studio. We began with a discussion of what I found to be a particularly captivating portrait in her studio.
I used to work at Lolita Bed and Breakfast, and the painting was of a friend that I had come in model for me.
You chose to capture her looking sort of down and away rather than looking up, or rather than looking at you. If your specific intention was self-reflection, yes. Why do you think you wanted to emphasize that rather than somebody maybe laughing and joking and doing something else? Why sort of quiet, solemn self-reflection? How does that connect with who you are?
Well, I'm a quiet person to begin with, and I just sort of reflect on the things around me, people, and the beauty of the individual. I'm not very good at expressing myself. I have a language arts problem, and the whole idea of me painting is a way of expression, and like answering your questions, I'm having a hard time pulling the words together of what I feel inside.
Were you, as a very young child, did you, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be creating imagery that is just totally wrong. Were you, as a young child, someone who would go off by yourself and draw or think?
Yes. Could go off in a room for hours and draw or color or just play, do whatever, be creative, do whatever to entertain myself. Yeah, I used all sorts of medium as I was growing up, and when I was in high school and in college, but I found that oil seemed to be more versatile and easier to get what I need out of it to express myself with.
Do you find that there are times that you return to a painting that you've done, whether it's a portrait or whether it's a landscape, and you find that you need to remove?
Oh yeah, I go in and rework it. Oh yes, I have done that several times, many times actually, yeah.
And you do plein air painting as much as you do photographing for your painting?
Yes.
Or more?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do a lot of plein air. The beauty of the way the light's shining on a figure, or the way it's hitting a tree, or it's, you have to be able to capture that moment as quickly as you can. So, because the light is ever changing constantly, I do it because I love it, and it makes me feel good, and people will comment on it, and it makes me feel really good that I could bring any kind of joy or observation of what I see into their life, which is a part of me. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, I'm sort of going at a slower pace, but I'm getting back into it somewhat. It's, yeah, lot of things happening in my life right now, so.
Yeah, and we don't have to, unless you thought that it was relevant for you to talk about going through the cancer treatment, this doesn't have to be a part of the interview, and I don't have to announce that. Is it at all relevant for you as far as your approach to your work?
Yeah, I would say so, yes. My brain is always going. It's always thinking about paintings and puzzlements in a painting. And my brain is always thinking about it, but my body is not cooperating, so I just rest, but my brain's always going.
So what is it that you are going through? You had mentioned it to me briefly before we started recording. So what's going on?
Okay, well, I have had breast cancer stage one, and I have gone through some hard chemo, 4 different kinds for 6 sessions. I am done with that. I'm only on 1 chemo right now, and it's a lighter dose or lighter side effects anyway. And the other thing, I've done surgery, so that's behind me. The difficult part's behind me. But so I have till December. But during this time, I've had to rest a lot. And I think about painting all the time, about solving painting problems and paintings to be, compositions and so forth. But now that I've started back painting more, I don't know, it seems to be helping me be more stable, I guess, and because during the chemo treatment, you're kind of like all over the wall with your emotions and so forth. So yeah, painting helps me focus, and it helps me ease up on thinking about anything else.
Michelle Murphy Ferguson, you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. Today's program is devoted to my final 3 interviews with North Coast Open Studios charter artists. Next is Stock Schluter, who also paints in oils. His studio is also located in Old Town Eureka.
The first thing that I noticed, Stock, was you have a painting over there across from us in your studio here, and there is a head. Not really looking at me, but looking up, looking away. It looks like a part of a, it could be a very large statue. I don't know, but it's just the head. It's in a beautiful, hilly landscape with trees in the background, which kind of reminds me of what you see when you cross Samoa Bridge, but it probably isn't.
Actually, it is kind of close. It's the eucalyptus trees along the freeway. It's a place out on Walker Point Road, and this is a sculpture that's in their yard, and it's just this Grecian head of a woman, and it's about 4 foot tall, or even 5 feet. It's pretty good size.
The head itself.
The head itself, and it's just laying out there in the grass, and they took this photo and wanted me to do a painting of it, so I'm doing a painting of it.
And this is a commission you're doing.
It is a commission, yeah. Okay. It's a really striking sky. A lot of times people want you to paint something. You look at the photo and go, well, I don't know, all right. But this is something that was pretty spectacular anyway. It was a good subject to work from.
And so there's another painting on the floor, and I'm thinking I might be looking across Humboldt Bay.
You are.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right across the bay from C Street here. And it's a little two-story place that belonged to the same client. Their kids grew up there. I'm doing a painting of that for the same client. Something kind of nostalgic.
Walking around your studio a little bit, you can come along with me. I'm noticing different types of landscapes, but not just landscapes without anything in them. There's man-made structures in some of these landscapes. Mm-hmm. I see a trailer over there.
Yeah, and the drawbridge that was in Louisiana. My wife and I took a year-long excursion on the road. I painted 250 paintings in 11 months We went from here clear up into Montana, all the way through the western states, out across the Gulf to the Keys, and back again. And in our little 12-foot 1955 Shasta aluminum trailer.
And so what inspired you to take a journey like that?
That's every artist's dream, to hit the road and paint what you want, when you want. It was fabulous.
Your painting process, is it?
These are all plein air paintings.
Yeah,
they're all
okay.
Done on the spot. Just set up, throw down, and say, well, okay, this is what we got today. I'm going to paint this. And you go from place to place. It was really exciting painting outside the area for that long and going from place to place where the lighting is different, the foliage is different, everything. You have to make new decisions and new, interpretations of different things that you're not familiar with. Growing up here, you know how to do all of the things you're familiar with. But on a day-to-day basis, if you're going out into a new landscape, it was really interesting and extremely educational.
Do you ever find yourself wanting to add anything that isn't actually there, or do you pretty much stick to what is there?
I don't generally add anything. I may leave some things out. You know, I may move something a little bit, or, you know, kind of move my perspective or do something to make a better design. You know, you're not taking a photograph, you're doing a painting. And I believe it's more important to get the feel of the place and the lighting than it is to get it technically perfectly accurate. So I will move things around a bit. I spent much of my life and a lot of money getting my artistic license. I'm going to use it when I get the chance.
Are you concentrating on any sort of type of area or theme when you do work for you?
Well, since I've gotten back, one of the things I learned that we truly live in one of the most beautiful places on the planet, and the variety here is terrific. I mean, you can go from a seascape, a flat seascape like across the bay here, to Trinidad, to the Trinity River, to the Marble Mountains and the Trinity Alps, all within a matter of 2 or 3 hours. You'll spend that much time on a freeway getting anywhere, just getting out of town in most places. So we're really lucky in that respect.
And so in your current work, you like to concentrate on painting scenes that are local then?
Yeah, plein air work, yeah, and local landscapes. I like the rivers, and I also do a lot of industrial stuff. You know, I like bridges and mills and factories, and I particularly like them at night, but I do those from photographs.
Why do you like them at night?
You get a quality of light that you just don't see in the daytime because you're getting warm light and cool light from different angles, and you get all of this contrast, and especially the industrial design just kind of lends itself to that. You know, like, we're fascinated when we get up on the hillside and we can look out over the city at night. And it's that same fascination with just the light source, I guess.
Did somebody teach you?
What?
To, yeah,
you mean
maintain
art?
A lot of life lessons. No.
Yeah, and there's stuff I must still learn, I'm sure. No, I painted since I was a kid, and then I went to college. And I took a double major in art.
What college?
University of Northern Colorado. I went there on a wrestling scholarship. I was an athlete in my day. And football, too. So that was a long time ago.
Did you ever paint anything connected with being an athlete?
Oh, yeah. I did some huge sports murals when I was younger. I did, there's one still hanging at the, I'm sure at Arcata High over the wrestling department. And I did a couple for sports murals for sports medicine places. Huge, you know, 5x10 canvases. And I made them so they could move them if they moved somewhere. I don't know where they all are today, but I did do several of them.
But you said you stopped playing sports early on and
I went on through college, and then I played 25 years of softball, and I played rugby and golf. I mean, everything imaginable. I was into it. Now I'm old.
But you've been doing open studios since 1999.
Since they started, yeah.
Since the very beginning. You know, there are different reasons people give for why they do open studios.
Well, it's important to the artist, of course, because we have a chance to make some money, which is always helpful, because if we don't, we can't paint. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to share the work with people that you don't normally see, that don't normally come out. And they get a chance to come into the studio and kind of see the nuts and bolts of the working process of art. It's, you know, when all you ever see is the art hanging on the gallery wall, you have no real contact with the human being that does the work. And it's like any other job. There's tricks to the trade. There's struggles. There's ups and downs. There's pitfalls. And I think it's interesting for the public to have a chance to see that.
Stock Schluter, and I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves. Today's program is exclusively about the 20th annual North Coast Open Studios and includes my final three interviews with Open Studios charter artists. And finally today, printmaker, book artist, and Blue Chair Press owner, Elaine Benjamin. We spoke in her Blue Lake home studio.
For 20 years, I've had this idea in my head of doing a series of prints based on rock and roll songs with linoleum block prints, because there's a simple beat, it's clean.
Your interest in printmaking, why that attraction and why the continuance with the printmaking as opposed to other forms of art making?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, you usually can make more than one of something. And so you can keep one, and then you can share one. You can send another one out into the world. I love doing the cards and people buying my art to send to somebody else, because it's speaking of them. When they pick one of my cards, it's because they like it, and they want it to represent them when they send it off to whomever. I love that. If I had a painting, I mean, even that print, I did several of the pairs of hearts. My sons each have one of them, and I traded with one of the other artists in that show, two other artists, I think. But a watercolor painting, or sure, you can make prints of it, but yeah, I like the repeatability, I guess. That's not a word, but...
No, it's a word now. I think it might be a word. You mentioned paper engineering. I hadn't heard that phrase. That phrase is unfamiliar to me. Let's describe what that means if you paper engineer for someone.
Ooh, I don't think I've engineered for anybody else. Yeah. But it's a matter of getting a design made so you can cut and put it together in a three-dimensional form. So you start out with something flat. And my most complicated one, the sugar skull up there, because it's not a square. I mean, I do the houses, the books, the trees, the new little invitations. But the paper skull was really something. And I like to make it so that somebody else can make it after me. They can either color it in, they can put it together and kind of own it themselves. But it's a lot more complicated when you have to write every single different direction down. I can't assume that you know what scoring a line is, or valley fold versus, origami. Have you ever done origami?
Not successfully.
Oh, we got to work on you, Wendy. But over here are some of the invitations, announcements that I've done over the years for Open Studio.
And so what you're displaying is just different. I'm seeing an image of a chair. And
you fold it up, you opened it up, and you took the chair out, and it could sit on your table. The coffee mug arrived flat, and you got to put it together. I did some coffee mugs of my Get a Grip design. This is called a flag book in the book arts world.
Yeah, you open it up kind of like an accordion.
Yes.
It's your engineering, but people who are touching them can manipulate them in different ways and yes. then perhaps even color them and you know, change them that way.
And this was an invitation. I probably don't have the year on it, but when you get it, you can unwrap it and pose them and, you know, have fun with it. But it also has all the information from the thing. I did the same ones out of the Beatles, so you can get all four Beatles with these posable arms and stuff. And this is called a cut and fold book. I mean, it just uses a piece of paper. And so you print both sides, but cut it, and it's a little book.
There was something that you had, I think it was sitting on one of these card racks, that was white. It was completely white. It was blank, and it was like I was looking at a frame or a base that somebody would build and also color.
Oh.
But it was still yours.
It's a linoleum block. You get 100% cotton rag paper, get it damp, and then you put it through the press with a lot of pressure, and so it pops out where you had carved out.
And it's interesting, you just pulled out something that looks like a wishbone.
Yeah.
A wishbone, and which of course can mean,
good luck, and wishing you...
And you want to break off the big end to get your wish to come true. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
but with this, that what we're talking about, people can color that and
I've never had people say
really, really,
yeah.
really. They
yeah.
they've left them that.
I don't know what they do with them after they buy them. There's an egret that was carved linoleum.
And what's inside? Just a blank page that people can write on, and
unless you get one of these cards where it's the instructions to make that little house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, and like you were saying, you need to put instructions there for somebody who may not know the terminology, right?
Yes,
yes. Well, so I'm curious, Elaine, in your work in the past, let's talk about two decades. Do you say that you revisit certain types of themes?
Themes, yeah.
Topics?
Humboldt County is always a theme. I did wedding invitations for many years, and so many people get married outside, or they're getting married here, so they want to embrace here. So that is constantly a theme. And Humboldt. I mean, whether I make something out of driftwood from the river, or I'm picturing it for, these were actually some cards for Blue Lake City to mail to people. But so many of the designs were originally in some form on wedding invitations. This one is a very popular one. This one. They wanted to include the definition of confluence. And it's such a good one. It's two things coming together and joining. And
so it's an image of two trees and a
touching
body of water.
And
the trees are touching, And the stream or
is
the bodies of water are touching.
Yeah,
convergence. Yeah.
And here again, fish, crabs, that's all local.
Yeah. Now what, you know, I'm noticing because you're pointing out different times that you've put together, what do you call it? I'm calling it found object.
Oh, yeah.
Art making. You know, you're putting together things you find, but then other times you're simply making you're utilizing printmaking.
Yeah.
And what inspires you to go one way or the other?
Just one word, maybe.
Okay.
This series, I call it the Food for Thought series. I was going to Weight Watchers with my friend Edie, and I happened to say to her before the meeting started, well, what's on your plate today, Edie? Or this week, you know, what are you doing? And I thought, how many words do we use that are food-oriented? And so I came up with the linoleum block prints, and they use... There are the words on it, like flat, selling like hotcakes, flat as a pancake, flip like a flapjack, butter up. And I think words catch me an awful lot, whether it's puns, and people tell me I'm a real punster, that tool prints all have their words with them.
Yeah, there's a Phillips screwdriver, and it's titled Screw It.
Yes. Yes. Smooth move, adjust. Yeah. When I had been invited to do a show at Humboldt's Finest, do you remember that gallery in Old Town? Mm-hmm. And so that's when I came up with the tool designs. And when I took them framed, ready to hang there, I handed Stephanie this one and I said, I don't know if you want to put this one up. You know, some people may be offended by Screw It. She said, oh, no, that's going to be the first one to sell. And I believe it was. But the words, let's see, the tools, these things, in a pickle. I mean, you know, how many words? Yeah, something's fishy. All the words are on the original prints, but then I scanned them in and colored them, and I love them that way too.
Thank you to Elaine Benjamin, as well as my other guests today, Stock Schluter and Michelle Murphy Ferguson. All three of these artists are charter artists of the 20th annual North Coast Open Studios, which continues this coming Saturday and Sunday, June 9th and 10th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For information and maps to and addresses for individual participating studios, you can pick up an Open Studios guidebook at Art Supporting Businesses, or you can visit northcoastopenstudios.com. And that's it for today's program. Please join me again Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can also listen to Art Waves anytime online at khsu.org. And Art Waves podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.